by the end of Saturday, it was, we need to take out the young. We need to take out the lefties.
Yep. I'm having a hard time hitting 5-foot putts.
Did I see that you hit a ball so hard you broke a driver head?
That is correct. It may be the only ball I squared up all day.
What's your handicap?
Well, we don't have to talk about that right now.
I was a member at a private course like the last 2 years, but I've never been as like into golf. Was that a humble brag, guy?
That was such a humble brag.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Lefties Lounge podcast. Ronnie here from the Lefties Lounge, here with Krafik and Frankie. It's it's Masters week almost, guys. Like, I don't even really know what to say, but I am super excited. And I mean, before you guys even say anything, can we just talk about Tiger?
Wait, that's what this has come to, that that you are now calling 2 weeks out of the Masters week.
I might start calling it Masters month, not even the month before, like the month before. I think it's going to be Masters month. That's how actually jacked up I am. Dude, it's been a slow ride back into golf, but I am completely back, and I can't stop thinking about anything golf related, and it's having an effect everywhere. My home life, my work life, just everywhere. Literally can't stop talking about golf, but super glad to see you guys. It's been a couple of weeks. Frank, we haven't seen you in a little bit. How's everything, man?
All good, man. Golf game's in top shape, and I know nothing about golf. I'm perfect for a golf podcast here, though. Literally know awesome, nothing. Man. I've watched very little, and I just know Scottie Scheffler is just tearing it up. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah, if you didn't know, he's number one in the world now.
I did. I saw that, too, which is actually kind of like, I mean, I guess you win 3 out of 5, jump to number one in the world, but
I guess so. Kind of shocking. We're going to get into how the official world golf rankings, I mean, I've said that it's bullshit before, but we're going to get into all that. But Krafik, we have to talk about Tiger. You have been like on Tiger watch. I'm getting updates frequently, and let's get into Tiger.
Yeah. It's always refreshing to see how much of a, just a needle mover like Tiger still is. Like, it really is like, I don't know. It's unbelievable how heavy the golf world is going right now for any little bit of Tiger news. I mean, we kicked off this morning with, I don't know. Well, I sent it to you. There was the flight tracker of his private jet.
I saw that. Yeah.
Like, that's the level we're at right now. Where if that
who
man
is getting this information is my question. Like, who, like,
that's
it's gotta
public
be
knowledge.
An inside thing.
That's public knowledge.
The private plane thing.
Yeah. This is like a big thing now. Like, this is because you think of like football and basketball and everything, where free agency's gotten to be like, it's part of the sport now. You see this with coaches, and you see this with like top free agents. They track these private jets all over the place. Like, the it's great because it's his private jet. The last two letters in the like identification number is TW. So it's like number something TW. So it's like, oh, I wonder who's jet this is leaving from Port St. Lucie, I believe it was this morning, on its way to Augusta. Yeah, but we've, you know, over the last, what, like 3 or 4 days now, we're just getting these breadcrumbs of holy shit, is he going to play? And I mean, I've thought seemed like, zero shot that he was playing.
That seems to be the question. The question is he going to play? All this stuff is good. Like, but is he going to play? Like, I know you and me have different views on this, but I mean,
Frank, let's start with Frank.
Did I hear that he was walking the course? Did I hear that correctly?
Yes. So what we know, this is what we know right now. He, the last couple of days leading up to today, he has been seen at Medina. He flew LaCava down, which they're making a big deal about. But it's like, what has Joey been doing for the last like 17 months since Tiger's played his last event? Like, I saw Colton Knost today was like, you know, he wouldn't fly him down if this wasn't serious. Like, if the fact that Joey's down there walking the course in Medina with him is that's a big deal. It's like, if Tiger's like, hey, you want to come down and, you know, grab the bag,
come do your job?
You don't think he's dropping anything?
So
he's been playing there. There was some video footage. It got leaked, one of his swings. And then, yeah, we got word this morning that he was on site with Charlie was there. Charlie was at the range this morning hitting balls. And JT was there too. And an interesting fact that I learned was Joey actually could not be there. One of the Augusta caddies had to loop him. So the caddies are not allowed access with the players before tournament play. So this is like an Augusta
was
rule.
Was the Augusta caddy named Lo Jacava?
It was like Joe Lacava. It was the kid. It was Junior. Yeah. No. And then so he played 18 holes today. He walked 18 holes today. And then the only quotes that we got after was he looked good. And I forget what that like.
No, he walked all 18.
Oh, he walked all 18. Looked really good. He looked really good. Those were the two quotes
from an unknown source too.
Yeah, it's from probably whatever, however you just called Lacava's name backwards.
Yeah, Joe or Lo Jacava.
Lo Jacava.
That's a hard one actually.
Not terrible. And then I learned this little nugget too. Apparently, Tiger hired a former Augusta National grounds crew member to make his backyard as close to Augusta as possible. And so that's what he's been doing for the last couple of months. That's why it's been reported. Like he's talked about his hands. He's like, my hands are still at the highest level of the game.
That's what I'm saying. So Frank, all of this information, what do you think?
Like, do I think he's playing or do I like,
yeah, I mean, that's the question. Do you think he's going to play in the 2020 Masters Tournament?
No, I don't.
So I mean, two no's and a yes.
I selfishly want him to. I just don't see it happening. But, like, I mean, you just have to, I don't know. You just don't know anything he's doing, right? So we have no idea if he's been playing. So it's hard for me to, like, it's an educated guess. I mean, if he's walking it, it gives it a better shot than I thought. I would say it's like 50-50 though. I lean on the side of no, there's no possible way that he can be playing in the Masters. Like
I keep playing devil's advocate with myself and I'm just like, what if he's just doing like a simulation or what if this, but like, I keep going back to why would he be doing all this stuff and making a big fuss out of all this stuff without playing?
So you think he's going to play?
I do.
Because I didn't know this. I didn't know on this. Okay.
So, I think he's going to. I think this is all like part of his plan.
Know. Tiger knows how to like draw, you know, the dramatics and be like,
it is
everything.
He won a couple weeks ago or a month ago, like he won the PIP and he played in one tournament. Like he's not, money's still important to him. So I think like just drawing up interest for him is, I don't know, selfishly so probably on his way. He's still like, I want people to talk about me. This is the Masters. Like, forget everybody else. I'm going to go out there and walk. And listen, maybe he thinks in the back of his mind, like, if everything goes well, maybe I can play. But I think, like, realistically, no, I don't think he's going to play.
So, like, Kravick, this whole practice situation kind of got me thinking about this. Like, you were saying that like Rory had a day and like all these people had like certain days that there's like a practice schedule at Augusta and this was Tiger's day. So it immediately made me think of like, maybe he's like prepping himself for next year almost and just getting reps and stuff. And if he had backed out of the Masters and said that he wasn't playing, he wouldn't have got that slot kind of thing.
Yep. And that's kind of like the point that I'm going to get to ultimately, but I think just the fact that he's doing this and like, to your point, what is it prep for next year? Is it prep for June when in the US Open, like, is it prep for the next major? And that's what I think. That's why, while I don't think he's going to play, I think this is so encouraging in the context of, oh shit, if he's physically going out there, I mean, I'm looking at a quote from February 16th. So five weeks ago, he's talking about his golf activity. He's like, my golf activity has been very limited. I can chip and putt really well, hit short irons very well, but I haven't done any long stuff seriously. So that's 5 weeks ago. He's not even hitting driver or long irons.
Right? I mean, to be fair, I'm not hitting much either, and I'm playing in our Masters next weekend. So.
uh, And he like, and that's the thing. That's great. That was gold. But that's the thing with Tiger is that when you talk about like him realistically coming out here after knowing what he's been doing, you know, it's not like he's been playing. He's been playing, right. You know, whatever. Is he going to come out there to, he won't come out there unless he thinks he can win. Right. Like he's got to think he's got a legit chance of winning. I hope he's not at the point in his career where, to your point, Frankie, he understands his like impact and his reach. And this is kind of like a, almost like a ceremonial thing. Like, hey, I'm going to work real hard to come back to play these, you know, first 2 days. And he just has no game. He barely gets through it physically. Like, you know, that's like, I mean, that's what I hope obviously doesn't happen, but that's like
I don't think that's going to happen.
He wouldn't put himself out there. That's what I'm saying is I don't think he would put himself out there. So I think that's the in-between.
Yeah, like a DNF would be like the worst case scenario.
Exactly.
Him, right?
Exactly.
Like he doesn't want to go out there and play like 2 days and be like, holy shit, I can't play. Or just like go out there and play two days and play absolutely terrible. You know, I think both those scenarios, whether he makes the cut or not, like are not controlled. I also think like I completely agree with both of your points on in terms of like just the mindset of him getting ready for stuff. Like, I think he's just like going through the motions of saying, okay, like I haven't played in a long time. I need to like stir up that.
Maybe he's doing some
like going places, pretend even like, if it's just going through the motions of prepping for a tournament, like visualizing, getting back in that groove. Like if he wants to play in the US Open or whatever, like he can't just, I think in his mind, he can't just walk out there and play. I mean, maybe he can, but just getting that edge back of, hey, I need to prep and this is how I'm going to do it. Right. Walk the course, walk 18 holes, play,
travel there, do his thing.
Exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah. Go through the motions.
Even kind of like, simulate it. Like,
yeah. Maybe, and like, that's what he's doing. Maybe like, it's what, it's Tuesday. Yeah. Like, I don't know there. I mean, what they usually fly there. I don't know their schedules, but you know,
Monday just trying that week.
Maybe. Yeah. Monday. Right. Usually. So I don't know. Just going through.
Well, the motions. He flew right home. So he flew right home. So he did that whole thing and now he's like already on his way back. But yeah, that's crazy. That's such a, like to your point, that is Tiger, right? Like that's, it would make so much sense to have that he would be doing something like that, even just to get himself prepared to play again. And that's, I think like, that's why I come out of this. Oh, and the real reason why I think it's a complete no is you guys know who that guy, Pro Football Doc is, that guy on Twitter. Dr. Whatever date, I forget what but he's done like, that dude is first off. I mean, he's like, if Elon Musk built a person and wanted injury information, like it's this dude. He's incredible. He will see a video of an injury and tell you exactly. He's like got a 95% hit rate too. It's absurd.
What?
But he is like, he's been dead set that he's not playing in this Masters. He's like, all the information based on, and that's the thing, right? Is it's like
based on health, right?
Like, everybody's like, well, it's Tiger. Well, it's Tiger. Like, it's Tiger. Like, of course, like, we've seen him. That's the thing. I don't think it's a pain thing, right? Yeah. I don't think this isn't a test of like, can Tiger endure playing Augusta? Yeah. Like, I think this is like truly a, like, you know, whatever, a mobility. It's his foot is so mangled. It's like, if he goes out there and tries to just gut this thing, is he going to do further damage? Is he going to put himself further behind the eight ball? Like he's still on a rehab path that I'm sure it's going to take months till he's like, you know, if he ever even is 100%, it doesn't sound like he's going to be in that ankle, but.
And the thing
is, just look at all the shit he's been through, right? Like his body is disheveled at this point.
And he's
like,
literally, he's five got nothing
back surgeries, to prove. A fusion. Yeah. Yeah, and he's got nothing to prove.
He's got
nothing.
He won the Masters in 2018. Like he's already done the thing that no one thought he could do.
Exactly. Like, this would be another comeback and another thing. I get that whole thing. And
what if?
I mean, this time,
next what year, if he does play? And what? Yeah, I mean, say he does play. What is a successful tournament for him?
2 days of not walking off the course, like
making the cut. Would that?
No, I don't even think that's like that. Like it's hard for me to say this because like I would want him to make the cut, obviously, and also for him like going out there and playing 2 days and not making the cut would be a failure. But if he finished 2 days and didn't have to like, you know, take a DNF, I would be like, that's a success. Look, the guy hasn't played in how long, and his body is like, I mean, his ankle was so messed up. Like I that if he just finishes 2 days and is like respectable, you know, like I think that's a win for him, but I don't think that's how he views it. And that's why I don't think he's going.
What if he did play and he won the par three contest and just completely cursed himself
and then withdrew? He won the par three contest and then withdrew.
And then was like, well, history shows that I was never playing. I just won.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That'd be crazy. But I'm just putting it out there that if he does play and he does win the 2022 Masters, I'm changing Alex's name to Tiger.
Officially, legally.
Officially, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Second born. Actually, yeah. I should do the firstborn too. They're both going to be named Tiger.
Can you change your wife's name legally? Like, is that part of the agreement? I don't
think she could. I don't know.
I was just saying. I'd put that.
It's going to be like Mike Foreman's kids. Every kid's going to be named Tiger.
What? Okay. What? Ronnie, take that question right back. What do you? What would be a successful? Like, you know, what's a success? What do you deem a success if he plays?
I mean. Geez, I would, like we talked about before, I would hate to see him go there and shoot an 82 both days or on Thursday and then withdraw. Like that would be the worst possible thing. And I don't think he would do that. Like I don't think he would put himself in that position. I think that a made cut would be pretty impressive.
Oh my God.
For sure.
That would be a successful weekend.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a line, like, cause the thing you got to think about, like we keep saying that if Tiger does play, he thinks that he's able to play at a high level of golf and he is intending on winning that golf tournament. That's the way I look at it. So I don't know if he plays.
your expectations are high.
Yeah. If he's that confident and playing,
if he thinks he's that ready, he's playing. It means
I guess that's fair. You know,
like if he's putting himself in that situation, I'm expecting him to
right. But do you even though he hasn't played in a tournament in whatever it is, 17 months or whatever mm-hmm. that time frame is?
Yeah, 17.
Like, I mean, I guess for Tiger, it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't really matter. Well,
the thing about the thing, and whenever we talk about it, yeah, whenever we talk about Augusta too, is the biggest thing is course knowledge and your hands and putting. Like, and he said that all those were great, and he's Tiger Woods. So if he can smack it off the tee a little bit with that new stealth, I mean, who knows, man? Who knows?
If we didn't see him play that the tournament with Charlie,
the PNC,
yeah. Which let's remember, he took a cart and was just bypassing hitting any tee shot if Charlie hit a good one. He's just right. He was just skipping shots.
He was and chilling like the entire day.
Yeah, he
hardly played. It was just like Charlie.
He looked like in the car all the time. Yeah, he looked like he could still move it. So
yeah, I would be. Of course, he can.
I mean, would it shock me?
Fucking Woods.
No, I know. But he was in a near death, a fatal car accident. Near fatal.
It was, but I mean, I don't know. I'm just so I go back and forth all day. Like I'm just like, well, he's probably not going to play, but I mean,
but he's getting your expectations up. I mean, he's getting everyone's expectations.
A little bit, everybody.
And
dude.
The other thing I've thought about is he's doing this all because of the PIP. Like, does he needs a certain amount of numbers? You know.
Yeah, I mean, when last year he played in one tournament.
Like, no, I know, and
he doesn't need anything. He could have 12 scheduled.
I think he secretly enjoys like winning shit like that. So, you know what I mean? Like he plays one tournament, gets in a car accident, like does legit nothing, plays in the PNC, and like all of a sudden he just wins the most popular whatever award in on social media for golf. Like, Pip is so stupid, by the way.
I think pretty incredible. The craziest thing is that just adding this storyline to what this Masters is going to be so insane anyway.
So, like, question: does he ever say, like, when do you think he announces this? Like, I mean, he has to make, like, when's
so great? historically with him, it's this Friday. People think the decision is going to be made by this Friday.
What if he just dragged? Like, there's got to be a cutoff, right? Like, there has to be.
Man.
But it'd be I don't think there is.
He can just, like, show up on Thursday. Yeah. Like, what's my tee time?
Yeah. Oh my because God. Because it's like a set field, because it's like an invitation field type.
Oh, true.
Tournament. I think they said he could technically go up to his tee time to decide when to pull out, which would be so fucked.
I mean, Phil just roll up together. There's like,
oh my God. He protests and he brings Phil out.
What I'm going to have to tell, time? I'm telling my boss right now that if Tiger's playing, I'm taking Thursday and Friday off. There's only, I have to watch every swing. Like, oh my God, what if, yeah. Like, what if I'm just, that's what I keep doing. Like I dance around this all day and then I'm just like, yeah, but what if be a crazy experience, but
all right, let me leave you with this Tiger stat that I found that I just wanted to work in.
I thought you were just going to do a Tiger like a poem or something. Yeah.
No, we're not closing out.
With a Tiger poem. Damn. Is that what Tiger said?
Yeah.
Remember when he used to do that?
I think I'd retire from the podcast.
No, he used to do that.
I don't think I was on the podcast or the poem segment.
Might, that was like the first one.
Yeah, it would be.
Don't go back and listen.
Before that's what drew me in. I was like, ooh, poem segment.
In the middle of the box.
Yeah.
If it was a poem, it'd be an ad.
Yeah.
All right. Tiger, during a 32-round stretch in 2006-2007, where he beat the field by an average of 4.7 shots per round. For 32 rounds. So he was nearly for 32 rounds in a row, a stretch of so he was 5 shots better than the average tour golfer at that time during that stretch, which means he would have needed to spot them 19 shots over 4 rounds to make it quote unquote fair.
That's incredible.
19.
That's 8 rounds. Or no, yeah.
We're handicapping the Masters, like the CT Masters. That's not even like only one person's getting that many strokes.
Right.
Like from the field.
From
right, right.
That is ridiculous.
It's insane.
That is crazy.
There's so many Tiger stats that are just like
it's just unbelievable.
God. Yeah, they're never ending stats that you can read off that are just unbelievable.
Absolutely crazy.
It's a good segue into Scottie Scheffler, though.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Some of the records that he ended up breaking. Did you see that?
Like the fastest person after first win to get. Yeah, I saw that one.
It was 42 days. 42 days after his first win, he became the world number one. Tiger did it in 252 days.
Unbelievable.
He was the original. Wow. He was in first. And then.
That's crazy.
What was the other one?
I don't know. That one's pretty crazy. And I mean, to win 3 out of your 5, like the guy is hot right now. No?
Yeah.
Would you
past weekend though, this past weekend match play, like, I don't know. Is that the same?
Do you consider it a win?
It's like, obviously it's a win, right? Like I consider it a win, but it's very different than winning it. Stroke play tournament.
Well, here's the thing that I think about match play is that certain people are good at match play and certain people aren't.
Kevin Kisner is great at match play, clearly.
He's great at
Country Club.
Yeah.
Heard that about 75 times.
Yeah. Him and
how many times he played that. Like, yeah. Do I think it's a real win? Yes. Yeah. I mean, he won, but it's not as real as the waste management or like one of those. I mean, it's crazy. It's a tough situation.
It's just different, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the Zurich. We talk about the Zurich and like limited field events. Like, are those actual wins? Like, and technically I think they're all weighted differently in the official world golf ranking,
but not this
enough to name the number one overall.
Right. Right. But I think that also played a part in John Rahm not getting or not winning, right? He only got to the 16 and lost, or DJ beat him, right?
Yeah. Was it in the pool? Brooks. It was in the first round. I think it was in the first round. Brooks beat him. Yeah. It was
Brooks
around
beat him. Yeah.
32 Brooks, or 16, maybe.
Yeah. Had to be 32.
Maybe John Rahm's just not a great match play. I mean, Ryder
exactly.
Cup loses to Scotty. No, actually, he dominated the Ryder Cup except for that round.
Except
for Scotty, that was his like jumping off.
The Ryder
Cup. Right?
Yeah.
He made the last spot on the team.
The best player in the world.
Pretty much. I mean, it's between him and Cam Smith. It's weird because like I don't like the way the official world golf ranking is. It's just so weird that he's number. Like, I don't understand how he's number one. We have to do a podcast that like explains that whole thing, because when we were talking about, remember what did we do? Like the top 10 or something graphic.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were
yeah.
talking
we
went, about
we just
the top
did this.
10 and
this yeah, was like two episodes ago. And one of the big questions we posed was, is anybody going to catch John Rahm? And we both came away with it. I think we were like, no way.
We were like, no, not a chance. Yeah. Like looking at the number, like, and the only person that was maybe going to catch him is Colin. Like the and
right,
and
right. That's who he
then
said.
Then the guy comes out of 12th place, right? He was in 12th in the WGR.
Yeah.
And now he's number one in the world. And
but
it's just,
how many? Okay, now you say that. How many times can you remember in the last, say, 2 to 3 seasons has a dude won 3 events or 3 out of his last 5 events? Like, how many times have you seen a player in this? And how?
It's like Tiger. Never. I don't know. Like,
Since I've been watching golf, like,
can you remember somebody starting that hot?
Not like that. Not like that. 3 out of the 5.
So if there was, if there was ever a time for somebody to jump from 12 to 1 in the world, and you know, granted, that's the thing is, I don't think, well, he's consistently like he's playing so well right now, but he's consistently in the top 20. So I don't know how long he's going to hold this thing, but I mean,
that's the question.
Here's my thought on the world golf rankings. I really don't care what they say right now. I care after the majors.
Right.
Like, let's get into the fall and then I'll be like, or end of the summer really, and be like, okay, what does that look like? Because none of the important stuff, and I have zero clue how this all is all weighted. I imagine, Ronnie, like you were saying, there's just different, right? There's different weights.
Yeah, every right? So it's based
so, like,
off of.
Let's wait until, at least in my mind, I'm like, that's great. I mean, good for Scottie Scheffler. He's number one in the world. That I like respect that and think, I don't know. He's obviously playing extremely well and has won 3 of 5. So great for him. But let's get to the end of August or something and we'll see what they look like. That's just my opinion on them, because I don't think it's hard when people, whether it's, I know we're pretty decently way through the year. And I know like,
yeah, we're like, yeah, we're a decent way. Like, right. Crazy. But this is the time where people like really, I mean, the Masters tournament is
playing.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, like exactly. So like everybody's kind of getting into it. And here we have a number one play, you know, a new number one. When they left off, John Rahm was kicking ass and now he's nowhere to be found, kind of like lost.
Yeah. If you listen to other golf. I will say though, the top 10, like you're, or even the top 20, like I don't think it's going to change all that much. Like
they're going to shuffle around.
That's what I mean. Like
that's the way. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way it has been. Cause I was talking to Hammy about this and it's crazy that like, I think in the past 3 years or something, it's, number one has changed like 26 times or something like that.
Right.
And granted, like some weeks, like, you know, when Brooks and DJ and like there and JT were up there, they were kind of all just flopping around like that. So it kind of goes to the player's schedule. Like it's the strength of field.
That's what I mean. That's why, like, you have to wait until,
you know, if Rahm doesn't play a couple weeks and Scheffler plays every week, like,
right,
and you're gonna have more options to get points, and he's gonna stay stagnant. So it's like the whole thing is weird, and there's so much depth now that I feel like when people get hot like this, it could happen. So
yeah, I mean, Victor Hovland is 4 in the world now too, and like don't get me wrong, Victor Hovland's a great player, but
he's won what 3 times.
I'd be shocked if he's number 4 when the season is kind of wrapping up.
Ooh, that's a bold take too, because
he's
been hot.
He is really good. I have no doubt about it, but I look at guys that are behind him right now and I go, I would take take them over him. That
true.
Yeah, nothing against Victor Hovland. I mean, but he's 4th in the world. I mean, that's
right.
That's like crazy.
For a guy who's, I mean, same thing with Scottie Scheffler. I don't expect Scottie to stay number one. I guess
where's Cam Smith? Because he's which is crazy because he's won a couple times this year and arguably one of the hottest players in golf. Like,
easily.
You know what I'm saying? Like, where, like, it's crazy to think about.
So he's
all the story.
Like Justin Thomas is 7th, right? And maybe
which
this
is
crazy. My bias to me. Like, I love Justin Thomas. He's like one of my favorite players, or if not my favorite player. Like, I would expect him by the end of the season. I don't think he's ever been number one, has he?
Yeah, he has, but only for a few weeks.
Right. I would expect him to be like 3rd or 4th by the end of the year. You know, like Dustin, like DJ, I expect to probably be in the top five again. Like
he's starting to show form again. Yeah.
Like I just, that's my like, and maybe that's just the bias of these guys are the name guys and they're the best word, but maybe it's Scheffler and Hovland and Cam Smith. Maybe it's all their turn to be top five players.
I don't know. It's a tough thing because there's just so many people that could get hot. Like we're already forgetting about, I mean,
they could though, they got to do it. That's what I'm saying is that's why I think this is like, it's cool. The story of him being world number one, I think is good. Cause it just really is shedding light on like how good of a stretch he's playing. Like it's crazy to think like he's moved this far up and now.
Yeah, granted, and it it didn't happen from these three wins.
It's overnight.
Because if you look at it, we've talked about this, he was what, tied for second at the US Open when Bryson won. Like his major record is crazy.
Exactly.
He's at the top.
He's played 9 majors. First one was in 2019, that US Open. That one, I think he was like around T50 or something like that, T40 something. Yeah. And then after that, I don't think he has a worse finish for 8 straight majors than like T18 or like T17.
Incredible.
A bunch of, yeah.
Yeah.
He's also the man. Like, he's very, like,
yeah.
He's
and his game, dude. And I love watching him.
He's yeah. Like how about his dad?
He's like unorthodox. Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. He just like gets it done. It's great.
Dude, how about his dad? Talk about poet.
Oh, I know.
His dad had everybody choking up right at the end. Like you could hear him mic'd up. Did you see it, Frank?
I did not. I'll have to.
Oh my God. His dad gives him a hug and Scotty just goes, how about that golf? He goes, I love you for who you are, Scotty. I don't care about your golf. You're a wonderful young man. Like, and everybody heard it. And I was just like, Jesus. Yeah.
And like, dude, he got choked up too, like Scotty did when talking about becoming like the world number one. Like he was like, he's like, I truly never even dreamt of like this. Like that's right. How
he's like that's how crazy you are.
Right. Yeah. Like, yeah, he never got that far in his dreams or whatever. Like that's
oh come on. You got that far.
He's living his dream.
I hate people who say that shit. Yeah. I never got that far in my dreams. I've gotten that far in my dreams. It's not even possible for me to get
world
that.
Number one.
You have number one in your dreams, fuck yeah, boy. Yeah. Damn. Damn, you got to get that CT Masters first.
Everyone. I mean, what are you just like? Oh, I made the pro tour. That's all you're dreaming about? Like, come on.
Yeah, dude, exactly. Yeah. You don't think you're gonna win? Like, yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Bullshit.
That's funny.
Sorry,
Frank,
on that,
no heart, Frank.
No. I love that.
This is bullshit. I hate people saying that. I've never dreamed
Scotty
about
don't.
This.
Scotty, don't.
I've never dreamed about this. Yeah, you have. Shut the fuck.
Oh my God, I love it. All right, well, let's I don't know, you guys got anything else on the match play? Any other storylines?
One more thing, that the TV coverage of it, like watching it, if you were to just watch it on TV, like I guess ESPN Plus had a featured group thing or something.
Yeah,
watching it on TV was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I didn't really get to watch a lot, like on the match play days, obviously, because I'm working.
Yeah,
I didn't watch any because it's not on when I get home. But
actually, it was on pretty late a couple of the nights. But like the TV coverage was like 2 to I think it was like 2 to 8. But the kids go down at 8:30. So
yeah, no, I don't.
Dude, it was absolutely terrible. You could not because think of it like they didn't. They weren't just following one group. They were trying to like mix in all these shots. Yeah. Course it had to be hard, but
yeah,
that's
why I will say, yeah, go ahead.
I think they should just like do like multiple screens in that scenario, like follow 3 groups. Like, I know the TV broadcast, they hate doing that shit. They hate having because calling it is very difficult, right? Like, you can't,
I'll tell you this.
They should do a featured group and then have multiple boxes with other groups playing so that you're watching 3 groups. And maybe you, I don't know, switch it up as you go. But, yeah, I mean, it's not easy TV, but, yeah.
Apparently, it's not easy radio either because SiriusXM was so hard to follow. I had a hard time listening because, like, they're bouncing around to this person and not giving an update of like where the match is. So like, if you're not completely dialed in, like you have no idea what's going on. You know that Bryson.
I feel like they did a good job with the Ryder Cup though. I mean, I know it's a lot less matches, but it's a decent amount of matches.
Well, that's what it was. I think it's the volume of matches. There's so many with the there was so much going on.
There's so much going on in the Ryder Cup. You have your matches and stuff, but I feel like there's a lot more coverage too. Like there's a lot more money into that one tournament, and they can hire more. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, true.
They're trying to figure out how, you know, 32 matches, whatever going. I don't know how many were going on at one time, but they're probably their coverage wasn't they probably didn't get extra TV guys to like help out. And
yeah, you know, you probably had half the field playing at one time, I would imagine, right? Like, I mean,
oh yeah,
maybe.
No, it was it would
suck.
No, well, I mean,
golf coverage isn't great in general, so it doesn't surprise me that they didn't do a good job on this.
And then last point,
I just held back a swear. I just feel like an idiot.
Idiot,
dude, that's real dad shit right there.
No, I don't know. I started thinking about like the podcast, and we had like the conversation one time about not swearing as much. Fuck that.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. And that was when we were averaging thousands of listeners.
Right.
Now it's
what,
like,
swear were you holding back? Just curious.
Fuck. Yeah.
There we go. That feel good.
last little tidbit.
Yeah.
Best score relation to par through pool play was Thomas Peters. He shot 15 under. So best in the field through those three rounds. He did not make it out of pool play. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the point, though.
He played in the tournament. Peters was in the tournament.
He shot 15 under through 3 days.
Oh, my God.
He's also 34th in the world. He's actually...
And he didn't advance.
So I guess that's why. Back to the point of Scotty, like the original point of Scotty Scheffler winning that tournament, like he wouldn't have won the tournament
if it was stroke play. Just different game though. That's the thing. But
we play these tournaments once, twice a year. Like if you're gonna do I get pissed off about this is like, let's do it more often then. Like if we're gonna do this, and like to your Thomas Peters was the best player clearly that weekend. Like
and don't make it a
I love match play. I love playing match play. I like watching match play when it's done correctly. Like I love the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, NCAA match play.
Like, but then maybe let's do it more often. I don't know. Maybe I'm just
I don't know what the answer is.
Like,
but
what did Thomas Peters get for finishing 1500? A whole lot of nothing. Which is fine. Which again, I don't.
Well, I think he made the same as Paul Casey, about $40,000.
Right.
I think if you didn't make it,
we're doing this more often than I think I'd be good with it. But since we do it twice a year, is that what we do it?
Just once.
Yeah.
Outside of President's Cup and Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
It should be more. And especially
fuck Paul Casey. That was fucked up, man. What he did.
What did he do? I didn't see it. He's very unlikable.
He played two holes. He played two holes and then has a back injury.
Oh, had back spasms and withdrew
withdrawing. Fishy to me.
Or he kept conceding the match every morning.
He played well in the players. Right?
Yeah, he seems like a guy that would concede matches like that.
It was bullshit. And he cashed $40,000 like that. So he kept doing it, he entered
the tournament and then just
he had to enter, and instead of withdrawing and letting the next guy in or whatever. I think it's bullshit because it happened with your boy Graphic Wolf one time too.
Yeah, but that was the wrist injury and he was out. He was out for a while after that.
I know.
Casey's probably playing at the Valspar.
Probably. That would be some shit, huh?
Paul Casey sucks, man. He's so unlikable.
He is. And people say it around town too. All right, let's move on. We are
around Milford?
Around town.
Yeah, around the I don't know where I was going with that, but let's move on to the next topic. What do we do? We want to talk just a little bit about Connecticut Masters and a little teaser about Masters, and then we'll get going. And next week, we're gonna do two podcasts kind of.
Yeah, we'll drop the Masters preview and the CT Masters preview separate.
Yep. That's going to be our own is going to be a little bit towards Friday. and your regularly scheduled podcast will come out normally on Wednesday.
Regular schedule is an aggressive thing to say.
It's an aggressive word right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you get it when you get it. But anyways, Connecticut Masters, Frankie, you're obviously, you've hit into a net a couple times.
that is graphic. The most accurate statement.
Krafik, you just got your clubs back from a re-gripping, which is
reshafting nice. And a re-gripping. Oh,
reshafting, sorry.
Wait, is this the same reshafting that like you did last year?
Or no, I just I bought them last year, and I just got them done. Nice. Oh man,
shoots a 71, and then says, "You know what? My shafts aren't really that good."
Oh yeah, I actually didn't think about that.
Yeah,
I did learn something though.
On, let's go. Let's
on
hear
grips. It. On grips. The so I got the Golf Pride. I don't know which ones. The Align. You know that you ever seen the Align
yeah,
ones?
They, it's yeah, it's got the like little.
It's got like a little
arrow thingies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's raised
almost like a piece of
bit.
Rope in it. It's right. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's for raised
for alignment. Yes. On the grip itself, if it says like plus a number, so mine say plus four, which I did not know. That is the amount of rolls of grip tape that they put on it. So four layers of grip tape. So I got the mid size grips because I wanted to go a little bigger because I have fat hands and. Plus four. So it was wrapped. No. F. Yeah. Like F is in fuck.
Nice.
Dude, plus sick. Four. So the thing, so four level or four layers of grip tape, and they feel amazing. But it's nice. Thick. It's not like the Bryson jumbo dongs. but highly recommend if you're looking for a
interesting
a thicker grip, like than the I had the,
it's not every
the
club?
Regular size. Yeah, I did every all the irons, yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And have you been playing or hitting the ring? Is the simulator back up or no?
It is up, I believe, but I have not done anything.
It's not a good sign.
No, I have not touched it. I did take the I went to PGA store to practice putting twice for like 30-minute sessions, which was good.
Nice.
Wait, you just went to the store and like
highly recommend. Yeah.
That is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
You gotta tell him about the guy.
Yo, yeah. No, I planned this out too. Like on my ride home from back home this past weekend, I planned it out like 30 minutes away. I was like, oh, there's a PGA superstore there. Might as well get 30 minutes of work and stop right there. And the guy, he was probably like middle age, maybe mid late 40s. He one of the fitters.
Oh man.
What?
I thought you were just gonna be like 34, 35.
Oh, shit,
I was ready to fucking leave.
Oh, that would have been great. Your screen just goes black.
Yeah.
I'm just pouring in. I pour in three like 20 footers, we'll say. Generous, but we'll say yeah. Like
how big's the fucking mat? Like,
no, it's big. They're massive. The superstore ones are massive. Are you they? Can easily yeah, okay. Yeah. So I pour like I pour just three in the heart, and I can feel this guy kind of walking behind me, and he just goes, "Wow!" Like I just hear a wow, and I was like, "All right, I'm leaving. This is the greatest day on earth."
Yeah.
I wanted to turn around and be like, "I shot 71 last time I played," but he would have been like, "Yeah, you know, probably right."
That's so good. Oh, what do we know?
That's it, dude.
What do we know about it? Well, I since we've last. There was a pretty hot weekend. It was like 70 something on Friday. I played that Sunday. It was beautiful out. Very vibey.
This is your 21 hole.
This is my 21 hole.
Oh,
thing.
Pomp. Yeah.
Super.
Oh yeah. So you played Pomp.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, the course is what it is. It wasn't in any good shape. Wet, but I got 21 holes in, played the first three in complete fog. With my 7-iron only, because that's as far as I could see. and just, I mean, it was awesome. I hit some good shots. I went.
It was great. I couldn't see the ball. I felt
yeah,
like
I couldn't see
it.
That whole thing, dude.
I
that
started
whole,
hot.
Dude, I walked out there. So I got to explain this. It was an experience and just, I don't know, it was golf. So I get there at 6:30 and nobody's there, completely foggy. And I'm like, I can't go out there. I can't tee off. Like I can't see the ball. So about 5 minutes later, a guy comes in, whips in a parking spot, gets out, grabs his bag, goes to the first tee, like almost in a rush, tees off and starts walking. And I was like, dude, I'm going. If this dude's going, I'm going. Like, whatever. So I was like, he's going to be flying. So I'm just going to go to like the fifth hole. And I was going to play 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And that's when, you know, Sean and Hammy were going to show up. So I got there and I'm like, dude, there's just no way. You got to that par three, that first par three. You guys know the course. You couldn't even see the green. You couldn't see anything. You didn't know where the flags were or anything. So I was like, whatever. So I'm chipping around. I'm just chipping, playing, doing, waiting for the fog to lift. Finally, I was like, all right, I could see about 160 yards, 170 yards. So I play in with my 7-iron. As I'm walking down the fairway, the sun just starts rising and I'm literally just sitting there all by myself in fog, watching the sunrise. And I'm just like, I'm like, this is golf. Like, this is why I come out here. And like, I tried explaining it to Shelby and she's just like,
you just
like being alone, huh?
That sounds like something. I'm like, that's what you got out of it.
I'm like, that's not it at all. It's about like the experience. It's about like who else was watching that sunrise on a golf course, like being like, damn, this is sick. Like, you know, like there's some
peace to that for sure.
Yeah. And I played 7, 8, and 9, literally played it with a 7-iron, went one over and went back to the first tee and played 18 with the guys. And it was just like, you couldn't have ruined my day after those three holes. Yeah.
At the end of nights, like twilight rounds where I'm like the only one out there and then can hardly see, but like the sun's going down in the background. You're rushing around, but then you take that
20 seconds and you're just like, I just stood there. Like I was literally standing in the fairway, just looking at the sunrise. And I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, dude, just take it in. This is crazy. And
so how's the game, more importantly?
I was good. I mean, typical. I would par a couple, double.
Like this Masters is going to be so interesting. I feel like, I mean, listen, I don't know anything about what anybody else is doing, but.
And that's the thing. I don't know how much anybody's really doing. I know Hammy played in February. He was out there with me at Pomperog. Shaw was out there at Pomperog. Not sure what Dave's doing.
Weather's been like up and down, so it's hard to like it's. I mean, it's freezing right now, so it's like impossible to
super play. Hard. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what's funny too is we were coming off a year where all of us had our biggest handicap drops. So in relation to par,
I think it's gonna be a rough year in relation to par.
+10 could win it.
It's possible. I mean, it's crazy. So we did. We can talk about the cart, how we picked teams this year. We did that a little bit different this year as far as the Masters
loved goes. It. Had zero idea what was going on, but loved it.
It was pretty amazing. Nobody really knows about this, but we have a new
elephant
addition
in the room.
Yeah. We have a new addition to the Connecticut Masters. Unfortunately,
it's our ninth member either.
Yeah, no, it's the eighth member.
Is this an official statement from the board?
I guess you can call it an official statement. I mean, it's just,
I just want to know if we're on record here. Okay.
Yeah, we are on record. It is on the podcast. So whatever says goes, but, unfortunately Mark, is not in the Masters anymore. And we
lost
added
him
Zach
to Saudi Arabia.
He signed a deal with Saudi. But we added Zach Enos. Zach is he's a competitor. I know that. He fits right in with us. I think he's about a 15.
You
or
just
16.
You just named a random person as if
Zach Enos.
You go right into describing his profile.
Who the hell is Zach Enos?
Yeah, I'm getting to it. He fits right in with us. Like
he's a competitor.
He's a competitor. He's a grinder. He's just a good person. He's also Brett's brother-in-law, my cousin-in-law. He's married to Brett's sister. but yeah, I think he's going to fit right in. I think he's like a 15, 16. So as far as handicap wise, I don't think he this year would be a threat because he said he hasn't really played. I know that. So he fits right in. Nobody's really played, but yeah, we got him. So
nice.
Yeah.
One of my draft picks.
One of your draft picks. Yeah. So let's you want to explain this draft? This is kind of it was kind of your idea, I would say.
I kind of wish we did it a little, like, I wish we just all FaceTimed and did it. That's my one regret.
Yeah.
It was kind of spur of the moment. I didn't think
that
it was for sure. Kind of spur of the moment.
What do you mean? Spur of the
moment. Dave was just like, let's go. Let's go.
Dave was like, let's do it in a hat. And I was like, yeah, okay. We've never done that before. Let's.
Well, yeah.
We were looking for a better fucking way to do it. Dave throws up. Let's do it.
So we have a group. Yeah. We have a group.
He got killed the other day. Let's not fucking.
Yeah, I don't.
Let's keep Dave out of this.
I'd need a shovel and need to dig 6 feet to bring up Dave right now. So his name is just
bad.
We're just gonna move on.
That meme.
But we did. We had a group chat, and Ronnie threw out maybe. No, I won't even bring it up. We're gonna move past that. So yes. we decide to switch up how we are drawing the foursomes and the two carts. Well, actually, no, not carts, just the foursome. So
right.
Who's playing with who? So, you know, we've done it historically. We have just pulled names out of a hat, and whoever we got whatever you get. We had the idea to essentially just take the top two players from the year before and make them captains and have them draft every other their cart. And that actually was the idea, Frankie, was to do this. It was either to make like a short YouTube video or to do it live and then like release it. But we threw the idea out in the group chat, and Hammy, who had the first pick, decided to just throw the first pick out, and I'm like, I have to respond with the second pick. I feel
I feel like you responded well. I was so caught off guard too. I was like, what is going on?
I looked down and I was just like, oh,
I think this thing's starting right now. I had no prep.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
And shocking, he chose Ronnie first.
I mean, we knew that was gonna happen.
Yeah, literally knew it was coming.
Yo, there were great corny lines after every pick.
Yeah, I will say, Kevin, your pick was I wouldn't say surprising, because I think your pick is probably like he's one of the best players of the group. So not surprising at all. But yeah, I mean,
you picked the new guy.
Yeah, Brett. No, he picked
Brett. No, he's talking about Brett.
I wouldn't say like shocking, but like Brett's a great, he's a good cartner. First of all, I know that doesn't mean he's your cartner, but he is a good cartner. He's fun on the golf course, and he's also good.
What you're forgetting is Brett was a part of the 71 round. Only other two people who were part of the 71 round were the other two people that were in the other cart.
Let me take you through my
draft process. I'll take you inside the mind of the GM. My 10-second ready, because you're going to like my second pick as well. So you got picked first, Ronnie. So Hammy and you are in the group one. We decided you guys are going to be the first group that's going off for group two. And then my first pick was Brett. That was partly my thought was last time I played, he was there. So, and we somehow came upon a cart to cart bet beforehand. So
yes,
he's
we're doing
also
a team event, kind of
a team event. Yeah. So each of the foursomes are going to be technically their own team, and it's going to be a two-man best ball.
Just a little side action.
Yeah, a little side action. So that was partly my thought too, was, okay, who's the next best, who's the next best handicap in the group? So I was like, I'll take my shot with Brett. So I went Brett, and then
Hammy immediately texted me, and he was going.
I knew you guys were conniving on the side. I could tell from a million miles away.
That 100%. How could you not? How could you not?
Frankie knew that, and I knew that, which will come up later. Yeah.
So
go ahead, Ronnie.
It was a toss up between Frankie and Shaw is what it was, and I just all I said was who was day one leader.
Yeah, Frank. Yeah, Mean much at the end, but it's true. Yeah, I played.
It's all about.
And who was the seven hole leader? Who was seven hole leader?
It's Shaw, but that. I mean, I'm so playing.
He'll
I'm,
help I'm for the seven holes too. That was
I'm all about having Shaw on my team because, I mean, he's got tons of potential clearly, and I do think us together could do some damage. But yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm the right next pick for sure.
So Frankie, I thought they were gonna take in my head I'm thinking, wait, no, who was, how did it go?
So it went me, Bronny,
Brett,
Frank,
me.
Now to you.
Right. Sorry. Zach, so I was gonna say, yeah, Shaw, I was in my head, I'm thinking, because I was about to say, I was like, I'm gonna take Frank if he, I didn't think he was going to take you, to be honest.
Right.
I didn't, yeah, like, it
which
didn't...
is so, which is like, you, that's funny because I would say too, Shaw would probably is the more logical pick there. Like just based off of, I don't know, relationships and whatnot, like just friends, whatever. I mean, I don't, yeah, that's just a quick thought. Yeah. And that's funny. Cause then you would just, yeah, steal me.
So the minute they
I'm just wanted.
So to your point earlier, it was obvious that Ronnie and Hammy were talking. So when they take you, in my head, I'm like, shit, they just took who I was going to take. Now who I don't know who I'm going to take. And then I'm also thinking in my head, oh, fuck, Hammy, Ronnie and Frankie are sitting there probably so jacked up that they got this perfect threesome forming out. And I'm thinking, who would they want as their fourth? Like, who are they, if they could pick from this crop of people, whoever they want is who I have to take. Like, I'm definitely taking that person. Yeah. And I knew it. I was like,
and you got him.
I was like, I know for a fact that Ronnie's going to want Zach to fall. And I was like, I'm definitely taking Zach.
I thought he was just going to sneak through the cracks.
So
I thought immediately you were going to snap Shaw.
Making
I thought you were going to snap call Shaw and we were going to be like, all right, Zach, here we go.
I knew it. So yep. I had to spoil that. So yep. I took Zach and then Hammy.
And then we discussed. Yeah. Then we discussed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, do we take the higher handicap or do we take Shaw? And then I said, I kind of did the whole thing. I was like, one under through really six matter, or something like
right?
that. What's that?
Like taking the higher handicap in this instance doesn't really matter.
Well, no, it can. I mean, if Dave gets hot for a little bit, it's two man best ball. So. Like it's two best balls, so two scores.
With handicap?
Oh, it's with, yeah, it's net.
Oh, gotcha. I just figured we were playing straight up best ball.
I thought so too, but Hammy argued, and he's the rules guy, so.
Gotcha.
Also, Hammy, the only one in the group, everybody voted in on the draft idea, only one to vote out.
He did vote out?
I mean, he said, you guys know how I would vote. He didn't technically say out, but he said out without saying out.
And they made the first pick real quick and just
in a very rules official way.
I thought he was talking about who he was going to pick.
No.
I was confused by all that. But anyways,
so end of the day, yeah, it's me, Ronnie, Hammy, and Shaw, yep. And Krafik, Brett, Dave, and Zach.
Yeah, and it's for, I think we're all throwing a few shekels in, and
yeah,
basically going to be for. Like a drink and a hot dog.
So wait, what's the actual? So it's two man best ball, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. There's no. Yeah, like, it doesn't really matter the foursome, so does it?
Well, I mean, yeah, you want consistency and pars and
no, birdies. Like our yeah, cart but, or sorry, foursome versus foursome.
Oh, it's foursome versus foursome.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right.
So
right,
it's
right,
from our foursome versus.
Yeah. So you're taking the two best scores each hole. And that's.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to dust you guys. But I mean, that's just me and Frank. I know he thinks feels the same way.
He's
I don't know how I feel.
I know. Here's the thing. We were kind of like doing like a kind of power ranking, like what we would just do. We're just trying to pass the time. And, it's hard. It's hard to like create a power rankings because like nobody's really done anything. And with the drop of the handicap on everybody, it's all going to be relative. But it's also, I don't know, it's going to be anybody's game. Just like,
well, I mean, always. Like, yeah, that's what it's so hard to do power ranking. I mean, obviously, Krafik wins back in November of 2020, right?
Yeah.
And then Hammy wins, but like Hammy was in I don't know, fifth or sixth place going into Sunday.
Hammy didn't win.
Right. Yeah. Well, in my head, Hammy won. But anyways, Hammy, like, on Sunday at least made a huge run to, like, finish second.
He did. Yeah. So, and that's the thing. Like, there's so many things. Like,
yeah, I mean, there was a playoff. So, yeah, I mean, he technically was first place at some point, right?
He was, tied for first going into the last hole.
I think with Caps involved, like, Dave could have 2 good days and
2 weeks out. Who do you think is going to win? One guy besides yourself.
I was about to say.
Because
I don't know. I mean,
it's a tough one.
I hate to say you, but I feel like you do.
Yeah. But I was going to say you too.
Fuck you guys both.
I feel like you played a little bit.
Don't put this on me.
I have to.
I hope so. I'm
I feel like Hammy is sneak, but Hammy, what's Hammy's
cap now? I said like, so, that was yeah. He was my that was my first that was
about
my
his
first.
Cap a little bit though. I don't know like, what he's Hammy's moved up. Sneaky.
So here's the thing. This is actually interesting. We're starting to get pretty close.
We all are.
The we're highest shrinking. Cap is Dave at 18.
Yeah.
So we go
which
from,
is crazy when we started. Right. He 26. Was capped out. And this is the seventh Masters, by the way.
Yeah, that's
when
crazy.
He did, we gave him, he was a 36. A 36.
That's not even real handicap.
Cut. I know, it's not, but we did it.
It's in half.
Yeah, it's literally in half. I mean, and that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's crazy. So you know? Frankie and Zach, I think, are probably 15 and a half, we'll say.
Yeah.
Hammy 13 and a half. Shaw, 12 and a half. Ronnie 9.8, Brett 8.5, and I'm 7.1. So we're almost all within 10 strokes.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
it's really crazy.
Which is kind of nice. Yeah, it's great.
I like it. So here's my thing on Hammy.
Makes it more competitive for sure.
Hammy is dangerous if he is in the top echelon of the group two on Sunday. Like if he's like 3 or 4 strokes off the lead.
You mean group
five?
One.
No. On
group two, I know what you're saying.
If he's
within striking distance, like he's
Oh.
Okay. I think he showed that last year though by shooting an 8.
Oh yeah, sorry, it is group one because group two goes off. Yeah, sorry. So the first, if he's in the first group that goes out on Sunday with a chance, you know, 4 or 5 strokes, I think he could. That's where he's going to play his best. If he's in the last group. He's going to have more pressure, and that's kind of
where... What's his nickname?
Cheap Suit Hammy. Cheap Suit Hamilton is what they
call it. I would say there's probably, like, I would say, like Graphic, obviously, I think you could win because you could throw up a score that no one can compete with, probably. Ronnie, I think you can win. You're always in the mix. Hammy can clearly win. He's been very, very close before.
Brett's a 3-time champion.
Yeah, but I would say, I think Brett could definitely win. The last... The two that I've played in, right? Brett really hasn't been a factor. So I don't know. He just hasn't played well. So that could change.
Could change. It's really,
Zach, I have no fucking clue. Like Dave hasn't really been in the mix. Doesn't mean it can't be.
I know. But even Dave, if he goes out and shoots 2 decent rounds.
That's what I meant, Dave. What I said. Yeah. Brett. Yeah. Dave.
Yeah.
And that's exactly like, he could.
He's done it before. He's the freaking. He's literally won the championship at Candlewood. Like he's the net champion of the league 2 years.
That was when he still had the second half of his handicap.
That is true. Jesus, yeah, that's true. But anyways, he could. And Zach is. I don't know if Zach is a wild card. Maybe I don't know.
Here's what's exciting though.
His innocence gets him. I think
in my first time, it's tough. You're putting everything out. You're like, there is some pressure there the first round. Like you're not used to playing in a format like this where like,
cutthroat.
You legit, but you're legit cut. I mean, there is some sort of pressure if you've never done it before. Not that it's like crazy and it sounds kind of ridiculous, but there is. I mean, and putting everything out, dude, no joke. Like, I mean, both years I've missed shorties that are like, you're like, fuck, man. Like you look back and you go, those two
whenever
putts.
We talk about this, it's the famous 1-inch putt. I literally had the yeah. 1-inch putt.
It's crazy though. It's
I'm so
glad you brought that up because I'm going to read you the final leaderboard from last year. Hammy shot 149. I was 150. Ronnie 151. Frankie 153. Shaw 54. Brett 56. And Dave 66. But we were like, Frank, yeah, that was only 4 strokes.
Yeah. And I remember thinking too, in our group, it was me, you, Mark, and Ronnie. Like, I remember thinking coming to like 14 that I was out of it. Like, I was like, there's no, I wasn't playing. Ronnie, both you and I were not playing well. Yeah. And
I couldn't hit a putt to save my life.
We were just like, oh, we're done. But in reality,
Mark was
playing really well. So like
Graphic was balling, and Mark was just stealing the show. After that shot on what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4. The second par 3 there, when he stuck it to 2 feet,
hit
the birdie. Like,
but
that was when I
to your
I
point though, Graphic. Like, if I don't know, I play a little bit better in my head's in the game. Maybe it's
right.
Tough. That's the tough part though, not knowing. And I think we should do a better job this year.
We got to figure out how to be like, better.
Oh, at that is 100% what we have to do. We should
record it in an app.
We can do that
because
we
that's annoying. Like I remember thinking to myself, there's like, we were trying to add it up at some point and I was like, wow.
Yes.
Far back.
Yes.
I'm 4 shots back. Like, and with us, that's literally nothing. I mean,
we have to do that.
That's
we have
two
to
holes,
send.
Right? Like,
that's one hole, really.
But, I mean, somebody like, could just exactly. You could double or triple, and I could par, and all of a sudden it's one stroke or we're
yeah.
Here, you know? Could, so or,
yeah,
we're not three, pros like, where it's like you're 4 back, like it's all of a sudden game over. Like 4 back in our groups is literally nothing.
Basically, like you're almost tied.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing this. We're going to find a way. There's definitely an app that can do it. And we will send, we're just going to have the group text and we're just going to, every 3 holes, we're just going to send like what the group is, like what your foursome group update is, compare it with the other two. We
had like Hammy too. We had no idea.
Nobody knew.
Yeah. He was smirking like he won already. And it was just like, dude, we had a guy going crazy too.
I also think it's better for us too, because like we're terrible at adding in general. And like,
right. Like you can, you just guess. You're just like, yeah.
Everyone's like adding up and we're like, what are we doing here? Like, let's use a fucking system.
Yeah. Like I was graphic. I was tied with you going into like the last hole. And I thought that I was down by 6. Like that's the way it felt.
Right. Right. No, I know it. It has to improve. We improve with the drafting of the teams. Now we improve with the score.
You know what? That's on the board. That's on the board. You know,
I'm not part of the board. I have no say. So
I'd like an official statement.
I will when I think about it and talk to the other board members, because you know I'm not apologizing for anything. Actually, we've gone through this already for absolutely nothing. But yeah, that was good. I don't think we have really time to talk about Masters, but
no, that's for next
excited
week.
For that. Yeah, and Valspar. Do we think Ricky's going to get in, Frank?
I don't know. Is he telling me?
Is he going to win the Valspar?
Well, that's a no doubter.
That's Spieth's tournament.
Well, a lot of storylines.
I have the rankings up. Where is my old Ricky right now?
Ricky needs to win the Valspar to get into the Masters.
Is that true?
That's a true statement. Yeah. The only way he could get in is through a win in the Masters. Or in the Valspar.
I'm on page 2 of the World Golf
Rankings. Listen, I had an epiphany.
He's 130th in the world. Jesus.
Ooh.
I had an epiphany about Ricky too, and I don't hate him anymore because I found out Keegan Bradley I hate more. But I gotta stop being so rough on guys, you know? I really do.
Why?
I don't know. It's just Ricky's not as bad as I'm saying that he is.
Yeah,
you just
don't
have
like
another
him.
Kid.
You just don't like him because of me. That's why.
Well, I don't know about that. I'd never liked Ricky. That's the thing.
What's not to like about him?
But that's the thing. What is to like about him? I mean, we don't have to get into this, but he's better than I thought he was. Looking back at like his major records and the fact that he was in the top 10 for like 15 plus years, I did not know that. And that is pretty incredible nowadays. Like for somebody to be in the top 10 for 15 years would be incredible.
That's true.
So
even a true stat.
It is a true stat.
I'm gonna take
it up.
But I don't know.
Dude, I did after the last time that you were on the pod and we had that little tuffle about Spieth and
Yeah.
Jesus, you got me.
Dude, I just heard
I looked it up and and he's going through some
stuff. He'll be back.
I don't know if he'll ever win again, and he's definitely never going to win a major, but I'll leave it at that. So,
interesting.
Okay. Ronnie, do you have anything? I don't know why Ricky made me think of this, but do you have any statement on Justin Thomas's joggers? Have you seen those?
Trash. How good are they? I mean, come on.
They're trash.
I can't wait to wear joggers.
I'm just glad I don't have to ride with Frankie when he's wearing his stupid joggers on Sunday.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I don't wear like oversized khakis.
That's what I got, man. All right.
Ronnie dresses like Keegan Bradley on the course.
Yeah, that's right.
Keegan wears J's.
Yeah.
All right, this is going south. We're going to end this right now. We're going to leave him on the 19th.
For you.
You assholes.
Scotty, don't.